Merry Christmas, everyone. It's a great joy to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. And it's amazing when you think about it that for over 2,000 years, his birth has been celebrated. All over the world, people gather to celebrate the birth of Jesus. They go to Holy Mass, they pray together, they read this Christmas story. And it's all about the birth of Jesus. People never tire of celebrating Christmas Day. Now, some people may get tired of hosting parties and things like that because that is a lot of work. But celebrating the birth of Jesus, no one ever gets tired of that. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's all about the birth of Jesus. And how is it possible for so many years and people all over the world in many different life situations to never get tired of celebrating his birth? Well, it has to do with who he is. He is the Son of the Virgin Mary, and he is the Son of God. In this infant body is contained something that no human body can contain, and that is the life of God, is God himself. We say in the Creed of the Church that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. That is, he is of the very same nature, the divine nature as the Father. And so his birth always remains amazing. Here is born a little baby who is God himself. He is true God from true God. He is true God and true man. He is perfect humanity and divinity in one person, Jesus, the Son of the Father. His birth brings joy to the whole world because he makes all things new. You know, one of the interesting things about looking at the scriptures is if you look at the beginning and at the end. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we have Jesus saying, "Behold, I make all things new." And he really does. From the very beginning of his life on the earth, which begins in the womb of his Holy Mother Mary, he makes all things new. First, he makes the big picture of human history new. If you look at the history of humanity, it goes all over the place. It moves in many different directions, different cultures move in different ways, and a lot of good things happen in human history, some not so good, and some evil things happen in human history. One can wonder, where is humanity going? Sometimes we can feel overwhelmed at what's happening in human life. Where is it going? Is it moving towards a good and positive direction, or is it moving towards something negative, or is it just going to go infinitely all over the place, constantly? One can wonder, what is the purpose of humanity? Well, the birth of Jesus Christ changes everything. You see, now God enters into human history. He doesn't just look at human history from above, from the heavens. He now becomes a wayfarer in human history, a divine wayfarer who knows where he's going, who is the great leader, the Son of God. By being born in time, Jesus now changes, makes human history new. Now the focal point exists. The focal point, the goal, the center point, the very identity of human history now exists in Jesus Christ. What is this focal point? It's Jesus. What is this new direction for history that transcends positive and negative and neutral and all over the place? This new direction is following Christ. He becomes now the Lord of history. By his birth, by his life, his teaching, his cross and resurrection, human history is now directed. The goal of history is to follow Jesus. Human history is made new because of Christ, because now its ultimate purpose, the ultimate purpose of humanity, is to know Jesus Christ and to follow him. He has become a member of human history, but he remains the Lord of history. And so now humanity has an identity that we must live up to. Then the birth of Jesus renews the story of each of our lives. It's a good thing to wonder the meaning of our own lives. People sometimes search for meaning in their own life, for purpose, for identity. People can suffer from an identity crisis. They can suffer from having no direction in life. And then when that happens, they just get pushed around or really bullied around by the circumstances of their life. Christ comes into our life to teach us that we each have a meaningful purpose. No matter where we are in life's journey, whatever's going on in our life, we have a meaningful purpose and identity. Our identity, we are children of God. God is our Father. He loves us. He made us. We belong to Him. He made us for Himself. And our purpose is to live as followers of Christ. That's now our daily mission. Sometimes when people don't have this mission in life, this overarching and deep mission that stays with them day after day, then they become overwhelmed and defeated by life circumstances. They feel as if they're just bouncing through life with no direction and no identity. But Christ in His birth gives us a purpose. Our purpose is to follow the teachings of the gospel, to receive His grace in the sacraments. We now have a priority to do His will, to do the will of the Lord Jesus in our own lives. And then Christ makes new our own experience of our own sins and failures. Jesus will teach us that we have to follow the law of the Lord. He will teach us that we have to be holy, that we have to live for the kingdom of heaven, that we have to repent of our sins. But He offers us the gift of divine mercy. He offers that to us. It's His mercy that will make us new. By coming into this world, Jesus proves to us that we can be forgiven, that you can be forgiven, that there is no sin too serious or number of sins too many for the mercy of God, that the mercy of God is like an ocean, and our sins are but a drop of water in that ocean. So we need to repent of our sins and listen to the law of the Lord, but we can do this. We can do this because the God of the covenant, the God who gives us the Ten Commandments, now comes to us. He doesn't just judge us, but He comes to be our friend. He seeks us out, and He offers us His mercy. Some people live by their own choice under the weight of tremendous guilt. And that guilt, even if no one talks about their sins, that guilt weighs them down and it oppresses them spiritually. They have a fundamental oppression that stays with them day after day after day. But they should go to the manger and take the hand of that infant God, His little hand, and say, "Yes, Lord, I have sinned. Please help me. Please forgive me." And Jesus will do that. He'll give you the grace of renewal. Jesus, in His birth, in His coming among us, renews our experience of suffering. He makes it new. Think about Jesus. When we think about Christmas, oftentimes we have this idealized vision of the Nativity as if everything was wonderful. But Christ is born homeless. He's poor. He's a political refugee soon when an insane politician wants him and his family destroyed. He will go through His life teaching about the kingdom of heaven, leading people to follow the Lord, to follow His way, leading people to heaven. He'll work miracles manifesting His divine power over nature. He'll show that He's more strong, He's more powerful than the spirit of evil. He will die on a wooden cross, a horrific death, but He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Christ identifies with poverty, with suffering. And therefore, when suffering comes our way, we need to remember Jesus and turn to Him really in our hearts by prayer and obedience to His word. When suffering comes our way, we should remember that Jesus Christ suffered right from the beginning of His life in this world and right to the end of His life in this world. And then after the resurrection, He's victorious over all that. When we remember Jesus and turn to Him, then we do not give in to frustration and anger. You know, when suffering comes your way, one of the instinctive feelings is that, boy, our life has been derailed. Everything we've wanted is now just wiped away by the suffering and hardship. But no, your mission right now, even as you suffer, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, is to follow Him and to trust in Him. He walks on the way of the cross and He tells you, "Come and follow Me." When we follow Him, even under the weight of our own crosses, we do not give in to frustration or despair or anger, but we trust that God has a plan for us that is beautiful. Think of humble Saint Joseph. He's a man. He's a father. He's going to provide for his family. He's going to provide food and shelter for them. And there's nowhere to go. He has to have this child, this Jesus, born in a manger, a place reserved for animals. And it looks like everything is a disaster, but there's a much bigger plan unfolding. God's providence is unfolding. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. He's born in a place where animals are fed, teaching us that he will feed us with his grace and his truth. And we have to perceive this. When we suffer, we should remember the suffering Lord Jesus, who is our friend and who loves us, and who will lead us to a plan for our lives that is awesome and more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine. Jesus Christ makes new our experience of death. You know, one of the great difficulties of Christmas is when you have to celebrate Christmas without someone you have loved and have needed. When a family member or friend has passed away, and then you come to celebrate Christmas without them. You know, every single one of us will have this experience of celebrating Christmas without someone that we have loved, coming to the first Christmas that we celebrate without this person or that person. I think of, in a special way, my dear mentor, Father Benedict Rochelle, who passed away in October of this year. And I felt a very great sorrow at his death, and this is the first Christmas I celebrate without him at least being alive in this world. And it's different, you know, because he was a deeply devoted servant of Jesus, and Father Benedict loved the mystery of Christmas tremendously, and he wanted to live that mystery throughout his life. And this is my first Christmas without him, in a way, at my side guiding me, but I feel that he's with me. But think about this. You may have a loved one, someone you have needed, who has passed away, and this is your first Christmas without them, and it makes you feel sad. But remember that that child, Jesus Christ, came to die on the cross and to rise from the dead and to ascend to his Father in heaven and to lead us to heaven. You have to remember that. He came to conquer death. He came to do battle against that sort of oppression that weighs over the hearts of all humanity, that oppression of death. Jesus came to defeat that. If you have a loved one whom you miss very much this Christmas, in your heart, bring them to the manger. You go to the child Jesus, who is Lord and God, and you bring your loved one to him. In your heart, you carry them to the manger and say, Lord Jesus, this is my gift to you this Christmas. In this Christmas season, I give to you my loved one, my friend, my mentor, all of the people I have needed who are no longer with me in this life. I give them to you. Take care of their soul. Bless them and keep them close by your side. Lead them to the kingdom of your Father. You give them to Jesus. Don't allow the sorrow of death take away the joy of Christmas. And so Jesus makes our experience of death new, because he is the great King who is victorious over death. Christmas, we know, is a time of joy, and it's true joy, because Jesus gives us hope. You know, if you don't have hope in your heart, you're in a very difficult situation. But Jesus gives us a new kind of hope. Not hope in everything going our way, but hope in God. Jesus gives us true hope because he gives us the confidence, the faith that God is our Father, that he loves us, he's merciful, that he has a plan for our life that is beautiful. We are gifted with hope that comes from knowing that we can be the disciples of our Lord Jesus. We can follow him. We don't have to say that we cannot be his followers because of some sin or because of this or that. We can know him and serve him and follow him. We can do this. This gives us hope because this now is our mission in life. Christmas gives us true hope the hope that comes from knowing that Jesus is with us, that he truly is Emmanuel, God with us, and that when we suffer, he hasn't abandoned us. He's right there with us. He really is. We have to trust in him and follow him. Jesus, in his birth at Christmas, gives us the hope from knowing that he alone is the way to eternal life, and that he has a plan for us that is eternal, and a plan for all of our loved ones that is eternal and beautiful. He gives us the hope of knowing that he is alive, that in him is eternal life. And so, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Christmas, we should remember that the greatest gift that our Father gives us is Jesus Christ himself. That's the greatest gift. Sometimes in life, people can be saying, oh, I wish God would give me this, $1 million, or solve all my problems, or solve this case and that problem. But he's already given us the greatest gift, and that's Jesus Christ. And so at Christmas, we have to accept this gift. We have to open the doors of our hearts. That's what St. John Paul the Great used to say, to open wide the doors of our hearts to Jesus Christ. Allow him to be the Lord of our lives. Accept this gift of grace, this gift of truth, which comes to us in Jesus Christ. That grace touches our lives through the sacraments of the Catholic Church, and his truth comes to us in his word. We need to accept this gift because it's the greatest gift that our Father will ever give anyone. May we accept this gift every single day. And you know something? There is someone who accepted this gift fully who can help us to accept this gift, and that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. She accepted totally the gift of the Father to her, the gift of the Holy Spirit to her, and she will help us to do that as well. We accept this gift of Jesus by following his teachings in the gospel, by accepting his grace in the sacraments, by loving him and loving one another. Dear brothers and sisters, at this Christmas time, accept that greatest gift of our Heavenly Father, which is Jesus Christ. In this way, the peace of that silent and holy night will actually live within our hearts, and we will come to experience that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he loves us, that he is God with us, and that he indeed makes all things new. Merry Christmas.